RWU Commission to order. First up, can we get a motion to approve the 6:19 minutes?
I'll make a motion that we approve the 6:19 minutes and the amended, I guess we do it all together,
yes.
The amended 5:15, 23 minutes also.
A second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Passes 4-0.
At this time, we've got a request to be heard by Bob David and Julie Bott with three flags and vessels. Take the floor. I'll go ahead and put that one up.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My name is Bob David. My partner Julie Vaught and I own, with some other partners, 80 acres north of Scissortail, which is not inside the city limits of Rogers. We were here a few weeks ago to ask for the commission to approve outside the city limits services for our property because there's now a difficulty in getting property annexed into the city, so we felt that this would be an easier way to approach getting service. We started our relationship with RWU about 10 years ago when we bought the 150 acres that comprises Scissortail. That's now developed into 275 lots, of which about 225 of them are constructed on generating water and sewer fees. If you look at the picture that is behind this one on your handout, we extended the water and sewer service from where it was located in Shadow Valley all the way to Scissortail, actually to the west property line of Scissortail on the water line, and participated in increasing that capacity with RWU. RWU paid for the increased pipe size. We paid to put the water line in. And then we also paid for the force main to the sanitary sewer. And then all the sanitary sewer that you see all the way up to the north and then back to the west. We actually did not pay for the sanitary sewer that's on the property in question, but we sold the acreage to the west, and that developer paid to extend that line. So the reason we're here is we have a development agreement that was negotiated between the previous property owner and RWU. It's a very detailed document, and it provides for the owner developer to install the infrastructure at their own cost, no cost to RWU. And that infrastructure has now been installed. There is a water line adjacent to the property on the west that's ready to be distributed should the commission grant us water service. It's inside the water service boundary, so we're hopeful that the commission will do that. And then also the sanitary sewer was extended across the property to the west to serve property that is inside the city limits, which is Evening Star Elementary. So combined, Scissortail and Evening Star are over 500 water and sewer customers. In addition, we believe that if we can get the commission to grant us service, water and sewer service, there'd be another 250 homes that would be built on the 80 acres north of Scissortail. So the development agreement that's in place is very detailed. However, it does provide for annexation of the property. And we, for whatever reason, the city of Rogers is taking a negative view of annexation. So what we're here today to ask is for the commission to consider modifying our development agreement and splitting it into two agreements, one that would provide us water service, which we believe the commission can grant on its own and doesn't really need city council approval. I may be wrong about that, but that's my understanding. But then also that the commission would approve, subject to city council approval, for us to tie into the sanitary sewer. So we all know in this room that one of the most important things in real estate development is access to sanitary sewer. It's very difficult to get gravity feed sewer in some of the hilly areas in northwest Arkansas. This property actually has it constructed on site. And the thing that's holding us up from being able to utilize it is annexation. So our request would then be to modify the agreement into two agreements, one for water, the other to provide sanitary sewer service to the property pending city council approval. It would really be a shame if this 80 acres had to be developed using septic systems when there is already a sanitary sewer on the property. You can read through those agreements. There's numerous references to how the property needs to be served, you know, the benefit of this sanitary sewer that is supposed to benefit the properties that are along the sanitary sewer. It also, there's another agreement in there that where we agreed, Julie and I agreed to acquire property from our partners and donate that to RWU so that the lift station can be upgraded. We've already done that. So really all the conditions of trying to get service have been met with the exception of annexation. So we ask that the agreement, the development agreement, be modified. And again, we don't know what that form is. We're just coming as, you know, partners with RWU to ask if there's a way to do this. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, may I have a question?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to bring a counsel for the commission for the Rogers Water Utilities. Just wanted to make a couple of legal and policy observations regarding the request that's before you today. The existing development agreement, and I've written extensively about this, and most of that material is in your May 2023 e-packet. The existing development agreement that we refer to as the Lillard Lane Development Agreement was made back in when Rogers Water Utilities understood that the city of Rogers was contemplating growth on the western side of Rogers. As it's been pointed out many times, the water and sewer service in that development agreement is completely contingent on annexation occurring. And that's written in numerous places of the agreement. And I believe everybody's acknowledged that, including Mr. Bill Watkins, who was counsel for Three Flags Investments, LLC, who appeared at the meeting. There's no obligation to provide water or sewer service absent annexation. And that's one of the legal things that needs to be remembered about this development agreement. It was contemplated in terms of annexation, and annexation runs throughout the document. So one way to think of this is that Rogers Water Utilities has already granted water and sewer service to that parcel if it's annexed. That Rogers Water is ready and willing and able to perform under the development agreement when annexation occurs. So to that extent, the request has already been made and addressed. Now, you're asked to renegotiate that development agreement. And so the things I think that the commission might want to consider, first point is a legal one, which is that sewer service cannot be provided in an unincorporated area outside city limits for the city code. No sewer services, this is what it says, no sewer services shall be extended into unincorporated areas lying outside the corporate limits of the city. So absent a change to the law, this development agreement cannot be rewritten with regard to sewer service. The commission cannot enter into an agreement to provide service that would not be legal. And should the law be changed, that's a policy consideration, then I think the commission would have to consider why that law was in effect in the first place, what the policy reason is not to serve unincorporated areas outside the city limits of Rogers. So you've been asked before by Three Flags Council to be neutral on that question. I don't see how, from a policy standpoint, this commission, which is charged with being in charge of the sewer plant, the water and sewer plants, can be neutral in that particular question. It would seem to me that this body would want to have a position whether that law should be changed. But that's a consideration for the commission. Mr. David, in his presentation today, indicated to you that he believed that in terms of water service, this body can make a decision on providing water service because the property is within the service area. I don't think that's correct. I think the city council will have to approve water service also based on the Supreme Court decision that I cited in those papers from back in May, where the Supreme Court's indicated that it's the city council, not the Water and Sewer Commission, that has the ultimate decision on extraterritorial extension of water service. So in terms of water, the city council, with having the ultimate decision, has already indicated to the commission that it doesn't intend to extend city services to this parcel but by declining to annex it. So could the commission make a request to the city to do so? Well, yes, I think the commission could reverse course and say, well, yeah, we really want to serve water. But then that's a policy consideration, too. What would the policy consideration be to extend water where the commission knows that the city is no longer intending to annex? So those are the legal and policy considerations I see. I think, and it also with regard to renegotiating the development agreement, that's been discussed here before. I listened to the minutes of the May 2023 commission meeting today before the meeting, and there's discussion about rewriting that development agreement in terms of water. In fact, I was the one that pointed out that was something that would have to happen if the commission was willing to extend water, wanted to extend water, but that development agreement would need to be rewritten. So the idea of rewriting the development agreement has already been before the commission, and not as an explicit request, but it was part of the discussion at the last meeting. So those are the observations that I wanted to bring before the commission as it considers this request. And I'll be glad to answer any questions the commission may have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. All right. Discussion. I know we've seen this one before. Again, my interpretation of being inside the water service boundary is it is a water service boundary. I know that we can't grant sewer. I'm all in favor of granting at least water service to them. I know that we just heard that may not be possible, but interested in hearing everybody else's thoughts. I know we've gone through this one before.
Robert, refresh me. In the past, does the city council have to approve, like I remember, probably the most recent one that comes to mind, maybe Prairie Creek area where we extended water. The city council, did they have to approve that?
I don't recall if the city council approves each extension on the east side of town. I think the difference there is that that's a recognized extraterritorial service area that Rogers Water's been serving for years. In places where Rogers Water's never been before, every time I recall, we presented a ordinance or resolution to the city council granting permission to make that extraterritorial extension. And this, to me, the difference in this particular case is that there's a clear signal from the city by declining to annex this that they don't intend to serve this area. So to me, it's just because it's in the water service boundary, I don't think Rogers Water can make this extension without city council approval.
I've got a question on it. Do we intend, I know that we're trying to adjust our water service boundary because of this issue. Do you intend to take, I mean, is it the intent to take this area out?
Absent the development agreement, it would be. I see a legal issue with taking this out of the service area because it's in sort of a limbo because we have this existing development agreement. Under the existing development agreement, when the property is annexed, water service and sewer service will be extended. So I think I don't like that particular situation. Absent that development agreement, I think that's management's intent to take it out. But this particular parcel, it's an unusual situation where right now I think we encounter more difficulty by taking it out of the service boundary.
Okay.
I was under the impression when we talked about this in May that it really needs to be, if the city council says they're not going to annex that property, that we don't want to go against their wishes and change, because I mean that's who's ultimately going to have to approve it.
For sewer.
Well, Robert's saying for.
I believe it's water and sewer.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what we discussed the last time, was it was water and sewer.
I just have difficulty with us having a water service boundary and we're not going to serve somebody in it. And that's, I don't know if I need to speak any more to that. I
really have difficulty with that.
When we have a water service boundary and we're not going to serve people that are within it. Now, I understand, you know, sewer is a whole different ballgame. I have difficulty with it. And I don't think it's right for us to put this map out online if we're not going to serve people within it, because it is a service boundary. Service boundary. I mean, I don't know how much more.
Well, a couple of thoughts. The sewer, to me, is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's by law.
Yeah.
What I think I understood. And that law is by city ordinance. So the city of Rogers has made that determination that they are not going to extend sewer. So sewer is really not an event for me. Unless the city of Rogers changes that law, we abide by that. So that's kind of a non-event. The second part of it is, and I've been on this commission, I think this is my fourth meeting, and I think I've asked this question a number of different ways. So trying to make sure I understand, you know, the service boundary issue. If it were not the fact that Charles Reeves entered into an agreement, a development agreement, and that agreement appears to be conditioned, it was both water and sewer. I mean, he entered into an agreement. When he entered into the agreement, it was specific to water and sewer. And it was basically conditioned upon annexation. Okay, so the annexation evidently is not going to be entertained by the city of Rogers, and I believe I saw somewhere in the May packet where that has actually been withdrawn by the developers. The annexation request was, I think it was May the 3rd. So the developers have actually withdrawn the annexation request. And so my point is, I don't disagree with the thought that we have marked on a GIS map that this is a water service boundary. And I think if you took out this agreement and just said, okay, what's the service boundary, I think we'd be having a different conversation. But the fact that this agreement was entered into by Charles Reeves, and it runs with the land based upon the agreement. So that agreement goes with the new owners. I don't see how we separate now, because it's almost like, well, that was what we intended then. Now we intend something different. So I don't disagree with water service boundary. And I had even asked, I think probably prompted some of that was making sure that, you know, were we obligated? If we marked it on the map, are we obligated? And I've asked that question two or three times. And what I think I understood is that we're not obligated. So sewer, by law, clear,
yeah.
We can't do that unless the city changes the law, the ordinance, and allows that to happen, which they're not going to do. I assume that's their decision. Second part of it is, obviously, from the documentation from the May meeting, they're not even considering any annexation at this point. I think per John McCurdy's email, it was, there's only one piece of property in the city of Rogers we're looking at annexation. That's one, I think that's on Pleasant Grove Road and the Cape Springs issue. And so someone beyond Robert, I don't know if it's something that you need to do with the city of Rogers, but for us to enter into an agreement that basically ARC can try to modify this agreement, I'm still unclear how we do that. Or if we even have the ability, this commission today has an ability to try to modify an agreement that was put in place. And the reason it's put in place was to make sure that I think that all the costs, you know, I distinctly remember when this property was being annexed on the west side. And one of the major considerations was making sure that the cost that would be incurred would be covered. And those are developer costs. It's not like he's just, I mean, that's part of the deal. And so I think that's why you have an agreement now. But Charles Rees entered into this. He entered into it in good faith. RWU also did the same. And so I don't see how we can do that. To modify the agreement. And I yield to you for, you know, and if it's something that, you know, it's kind of this is usually you get a request and it's spelled out. We're kind of in gray area of this is what I'd like to do. Can y'all consider it? So my preference would be is we get something if that's what we're being asked to do. That makes sense?
Well, yes, sir. I understand the commissioner to be asking what action would be requested before the commission for decision, or
that's one is we're kind of running a couple of different directions.
Sure. Well, I, as I understand the request from Mr. Dave, it would be it was phrased as to have two different development agreements. So, but the overarching request was to renegotiate a new development agreement that's not contingent on annexation. That's what I understand the overall request is. And so, if I've articulated the request correctly, Mr. David may want to make sure that I've articulated correctly. I believe the commission can either, there's two ways to look at this. One, this issue is already decided at the May meeting, which I think the commission could hear the request and take no action. Or the commission could entertain this as a new request to the extent it's different from the other one. I think it's essentially the same request, but to the extent you would argue that this is a new request, the commission could entertain a motion to deny or grant Mr. David's request. And earlier I mentioned what I thought legal and policy problems with entertaining, different granting Mr. David's request. Yeah, I hope that addressed the commissioner. The superintendent just, I think what we're, the superintendent's intention to be is to the extent the ultimate issue of the annexation, this body doesn't have jurisdiction of it. Okay, so. To modify the agreement to, in terms of the annexation requirement, we don't control, this body doesn't control the annexation.
But I think my request was to, just what you said, Robert, was to modify the agreement to provide for city council approval, not annexation. And if it was put before the council in that fashion, then they wouldn't have to decide on annexation, because we, those of us that have dealt with this know that for whatever reason, annexation is a difficult thing these days, if not impossible. We purposely have not gone to the city council to get on the agenda because we thought that we could get a reasonable agreement to get water and sewer service for the property. It's on the property, but we can't get that. So now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to employ whatever support we have on the city council, two or three people. We're going to have to go to city council, and it's going to become a contentious discussion. But we're going to do that because we owe it to our partners and we owe it to ourselves to get an answer. We've invested millions of dollars in your infrastructure. and we believe we deserve to have a vote on this. And so we really are perplexed and incensed, to be honest, that we have assets available to the property and we can't figure out a way to get use of those assets. But yet we get serious opposition to that from the city development services, from the mayor. And I certainly understand you all not having an ability to grant something if it's not permissible. But we really have tried. We've tried now for over 9 months to find the solution. And it's apparent that our only solution is to go to the city council and have that discussion and have it just be out in the open. And the city of Rogers is going to have to say, no, we're not going to annex any more property. We've heard it from Mr. McCurdy, but he's not the boss. You know, the city council is. So that's going to have to be our course. We hear everything that's been said today, and we appreciate your time. We don't understand why you all don't just go, yes, we want another 250 customers. We want another $250,000 a year of revenue. We don't understand that, but it's not for us to decide.
Mr. Chairman, do I understand Mr. David to be withdrawing here this request? Because I understand he's going to take this to the city council.
Well, that's what I just heard you say is your issues with the city.
And well, that's what you're saying. You're saying you can't grant me. Well, you can't grant me sewer.
I can't grant you annex. We cannot.
You've
acknowledged we do not have the ability.
Yes,
to annex your property. And so for you to and that's what I think I said when Mr. Watkins walked across here. This is a city council issue. Mm-hmm. You need to take this up to city council. It's obvious that you've met with them. And so, my recommendation to Mr. Watkins as he walked across, I said, you know, Bill, this is an issue you all need to take up to the city. Because if you have this property annexed, we wouldn't be having this conversation because your agreement and everything within the agreement appears to be a part of what we normally do every day. Is that...
So we
Mr. David, if you want to come up here, and I don't want this thing to fly off the rails.
I really appreciate your indulgence here.
Yeah. I just want to hash this out because I don't want us to be back here with the same issue.
So, we've been told by engineers, we've been told by pretty much everybody that knows this property that RWU has always intended to serve this property. It's always intended to serve it. I mean, there's a 25-page development agreement with 47 signatures on it. But yet we can't get RWU to support providing service. If RWU would support that and tell the city council, we want to provide service to this property. We have an agreement. All you all need to do is annex. But we can't get that support. So that's really what we were trying to do, was to say, modify the agreement to take the annexation out, provide for city council approval of water and sewer service to this property, and then let the city council vote on it without having to decide annexation. If that's, you know, as I said, we don't know that that pathway can be clarified or that it can be successfully negotiated. But we're really, like I said, we're very perplexed that we can't figure out a way for this property to be developed. It's going to get developed. It's going to be developed without sewer service. It's going to be developed into large lots, and it's going to have sanitary septic systems. 70 septic systems when there's a city sewer on the property. So, I mean, unfortunately, that's the course we're left with unless we can get the city council to modify their position.
I was going to ask, you're still keeping your request, correct?
Yeah, we would love to ask that the commission modify the annexation requirement to be city council approval. Yes.
Okay. We have a moment. It's
we did this in May.
I made my opinion, I think, in the May meeting where... To me, we've heard, I guess, the continued issue about annexation. And again, that is not a Water Commission issue. That is a city issue. And so I think the same thing. It needs to be dealt with by the city council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not my issue to annex. That's not my deal. It's not.
We will get.
Can you determine, is the Mr. Carmichael making a motion or what? I just want to clarify what the action the commission is going to take here.
I don't think there is a vote on it. It sounds like we're kicking the can to somebody else.
Well, we're kicking the can. We made a decision
in May.
What I understand is at least there was discussion on this issue in May. And there was a motion and a vote that was taken in May, and that was not to extend the water and sewer outside the boundary.
Mr. Chairman,
we didn't vote on sewer because we can't vote on sewer, but we did vote on water.
Sewer
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I understand Mr. Carmichael's comment to be, and by the assent of the commissioners, if that is the case, to be that this commission considers this matter already decided at the May 2023 meeting and is taking no further action today.
That's what I'm hearing as well. Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
Mr. Chairman.
We will move on to the next item.
So to change gears here, I've got my financial report here. You've got it in front of you as well. I would just like to take a minute to recognize, as Jennifer left, Matt Sable back here, he's been with us 4 years, has been thrust into the limelight, and he's had a pile of work, and he's performed very well. I mean, it's not as fast as we like, but, you know, it's one person. But I did want to recognize him for the work that he's been doing since Jennifer's been gone, and while she was gone on leave. So appreciate it, Matt.
Good job, Matt.
And hot off the press, here's the June financial information. Billed revenue for the month of June was up. Water consumption was up. We reported a profit of $420,500 for June 23. Profit of $338,000 was reported for last year. Year-to-date collections of access and impact fees are $776. Again, lower. This trend continues compared to last year of $958,900 and $1,001,000 in 21. On sewer, revenue was up, consumption was up. Reported a profit of $590,000. $701,000 was reported for June of 22. Access and impact fees are $1.3. Compares to 1.8 and 2.3 2 years ago. Year-to-date profit is more than the prior year and ahead of budget for both departments. Total restricted and unrestricted funds are $49 million for June of 23. So overall increase of $5 million from June of 22. Water funds increased by approximately $3 million. Sewer funds by $5 million. 7.3 of that $49 million are restricted. The debt service, meter deposits, access and impact fees, and appreciation. Any questions? And we'll have the full documents out in just a few days. And then we've got year end and audit as well coming up. So a lot on our plate. We feel confident we'll get there. We continue to search for a new controller. Haven't found that person yet, and it wouldn't help us at this point in time anyway. So. We'll get through it.
We'll get through it.
Yeah.
I mean, the financials are, you all know how important that is. We all know how that's important. So it's good that we've got Matt. But again, just stress that we've got to stay on top of that because it's good business. So good luck.
Thank you.
Visionary report for June. The number of plan reviews we've had coming in has been consistent with the last few months. We've had a few new projects. We reviewed Costco, which has now pulled off of that site that they had planned. A couple of small sewer main extension, Lisa Academy Phase 2 is going to be an expansion of a private school, and a couple other small commercial projects.
These ones that have 8th and 9th reviews, are we charging them for those?
Most of those we have conditional approval by review number 3 or 4. Okay. What happens is as they go into and during construction, we'll have some minor issues pop up, or we'll have to look at something and send it back, and that counts as a review. I think that'll be the case for the vast majority of these.
Okay.
So no, we're not collecting fees off of those. On the project status, a few status changes. We've got the Poplar and 13th Street roundabout project, and also includes some pedestrian improvements along South 13th Street. That's currently out to bid. We've also issued the request for proposal from Weiss and Huber for the two dryer system equipment. So the Poplar and 13th Street, I believe we'll be able to present those bids to commission next month. The dryer equipment is going to take us a while to review, and so we'll have that in front of commission in September. We did receive bids for the Bent Tree and Berry Farm lift station decommissioning, which I'll be presenting today. And we're wrapping up, I'm not sure if it's all the way complete, but I know we're wrapping up our sewer maintenance contract for this year. And I think what we're going to do moving forward, and this is kind of a joint effort between engineering and field ops. They do more of the project management on this, but I think we're going to probably break this up into, instead of having one overarching contract for sewer, I think we can realize some cost savings in this next contract if we break this down into manhole rehab, point repairs, and pipe bursting, and get those specialty contractors to bid out parts of that project.
Hey, Brian, if we leave that, and it circles back to Pinnacle and Champions,
yes.
I know we talked about that before the meeting. I know that there's been work done on that. Have we continue to do well in communicating when work's being done out there? Because obviously we're digging under Rainbow Road, no one knew about it today, other than they went by there, and you went by one time, you can drive, and you came back, and it was closed, and it may only be for a day. But again, down that hill, you can't turn around. More importantly is we talked about how important it would be for us to communicate with people within the boundaries of Pinnacle when. I don't know what I don't live in there. I don't know what's going on, but to communicate when work is going to be done, and when obviously it gets altered when you have big rain events, but just making sure that we communicate. We've got that, you know, LPGA is coming up. They just had the tribute out there, and I understand it was a lot of issues. So just as important that we can, if, as much as we can communicate, because it'll come back on RWU. It's not going to happen to. We have the contractor is going to come back on RME and stop communicating. So
I've got the golf superintendent on speed dial out there. So we've been talking back and forth. We've been talking to the country club manager. As far as the road closure permit, that was a miscommunication. That road closure was supposed to be for all of last week. They didn't start until Wednesday. So that's still going to be this week. I don't think that was communicated to City Hall, and it sounds like the detour signs got put in the wrong place. So I'm gonna follow up on that.
Again, as much as we can communicate, we know how sensitive everybody's projects are, but in that one is again, we got a big event coming up for our community, and as much as we can, either try to stay out of the way, at least do that event, and make sure that everybody's being communicated. So speed dial's good, but if he's not communicating to someone. It's not communicating out to the residents. It's the individual resident if we had the ability to do that. But, hey, we're going to be digging in your backyard or close to your backyard next week if we have that ability. At least have a heads up.
I'm out there going back and forth. The detour signs are coming from the south. They're over the roundabout. So if people went by, they were just kind of by. As they have to leave the spot because there's access to both us and a few residences down there and the golf course. So you have to be able to go by it. People to get down there, you just can't go through. There were detour signs up there at the roundabout. People just blew through them.
Okay. I believe one of the requests from emergency services was to allow some type of access for fire and police to get by it.
So soft, really.
Yeah. And my point was just communication, because I know that I get emails from the city of Rogers to say, we're going to close this street and use it. You know, it'll give you a time frame. I don't know that I've seen one on that one.
Right.
So whether that was part of a you issue or is it communicated with the city would have sent that out to the residents, whoever gets those emails. It would say, hey, we're going to close it between, and even the rain event, it could have altered that a little bit, but just making sure that people are aware of it. Because it, you know, and I've not been down that way, I just heard about it.
Kind of came up out of nowhere. It is
I think the one today short. Was, I'll go out and drive it this afternoon, but as much as if we can send out something, if that's possible. I think I put that on Johnny's plate.
I tried to come that way to this meeting, so, and I hit the detour sign and had to go around the roundabout twice, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's good. Thank you, Mark.
We had, as part of our capacity improvement project, we're in the concept plan phases of that. We had Freeze and Nichols do a structural assessment out of the plant this last month. I don't think we found anything we didn't really already know about. There was some extensive cracking in the joints in the equalization basin wall. Some other cracking around some of those structures, but nothing to be really concerned about. We had planned on doing some rehab on this as part of this project. So overall, a pretty clean bill of health for the structural assets of the plant. Some other notable events. We're still seeking applicants for our engineering technician. I think we've had that out there for about 5 weeks, and we've scheduled one interview so far. So it's a little bit sparse, but we're looking for the right people. Still working on the policy clarifications, the city works and GIS. We are in the PLL testing process, and then the asset management. Work order system training will be in August and September, training and testing. And also working on specification updates. Upcoming, I mentioned the 13th and Poplar Roundabout. Walnut Street, after several years of waiting for that one to go out to bid, it looks like it's going to be next month. It's going to be that will go out next month and have bids in September.
Brian, anything of any significance in the spec updates?
Mainly, we're gonna have the addition of the low pressure sewer system, and then we're really gonna change the way that we get the record drawings. We did look at what Bentonville is doing for their, and they've got some very detailed specs on there. I think we're gonna pull some from that where we can automatically just import those right into our GIS without having to do a whole lot of legwork. So my guys have been writing up a procedure to do that. So those are probably going to be the main things. A lot of the other updates are things like part numbers and just updates to standard test procedures and things like that.
Very good.
I think that's all, unless you guys have any questions.
Thanks, Brian.
Low flows in those fairly easy months, honestly. the treatment and DMR looks pretty good for that month.
fairly standard month on pretreatment. Summertime is a slow time for us, I feel like, but so we're not really having a lot of issues right now out there. Even our significant events is pretty low. We did begin the flow study for identifying how accurate our influent flow measurement structure is, and because of the way the plan's been pieced together over the years, our flow measurement structure has a little bit of trouble. It's pretty convoluted whenever we start getting really high flows. Freese and Nichols we exceed the capacity of our ability to measure on a regular basis during very high events. And so they wanted to put some flow measurement devices out in the field to kind of get a handle on exactly how much water we are getting during those exceptionally high events. So we've got that in place. Right now during low flow events, it's tracking pretty close to what we measure. That's what we have. So I mean, unless the commission has questions for me, I'm happy to.
No, you run a tight ship out there.
Yeah.
You're probably bored.
It's a little tough getting. We have to have chemical deliveries go all the way through the plant right now, but that's really our biggest issue with it. And, that's not too bad. it's a chlorine delivery and sulfur dioxide, so we're pretty particular about how it comes. But,
yeah.
But we're getting there.
Good work.
Field ops, we'll just kind of touch on the numbers here a little bit and we'll get on to some other things. You'll see our work orders completed there. We're a little down from our normal 80 and 85 that we have been in the past few presentations that I did. And you'll see here in a little bit we've been doing some outside work, not outside work, but doing some extra work and stuff. And everything, but the field crews have been doing great, keeping up with everything that we're needing to try to keep up with. We lost one that he'd been on military leave, and he decided that the military was the life for him. I think they offered him something really good in the Air Force and stuff. He had been on leave to fulfill his contract and ended up, like I said, staying. We interviewed one already and got him in place. I think, Dan, didn't you say he starts
a week from today?
So that's good. As I was telling you, these, if you've been down on Elm and Poplar down here, where I think Tuscan Trotter's going, and there's the Rogers Bar, right? Okay. And this is one of the projects that we've been working on down there. The reason that we done this is whenever we was approached by the city that they were going to put in some redo the sidewalks and stuff, we had went with their subcontractor to see about laying the water line, and they were going to charge us $480 a foot.
Yeah.
$480. And us supply the materials. We decided that we would tackle this little project ourselves. Our guys did a very good job. We passed the pressure test right at them, you said, today. So we're good to go. We'll be chlorinating the line and should have it live by the end of the week, maybe, or first part of next week. And we can abandon the other older line and everything. But like I said, you can just see it was quite a project for us, because we're not mainliners. We're used to going in and just fixing leaks and stuff. But our guys did a very good job getting all of the pipe installed and getting it installed correctly. So, Brian touched base on the rehab projects and stuff. Here's just the numbers that we had done. We had over 1,480 feet that we did the full pipe bursting over there at Oakham and Wide Oak Drive. CIP repairs, we had 368 feet of those done, you know, 35 repairs on a 6-inch line, 50 on an 8, 7 on a 10. They raised 43 manholes. We epoxy lined 39. We changed out 45 ring and lids. We went from the metal lids to the composite ring and lids. And they did 500 feet of just regular dig in and replace point repairs. We had 96,000 feet of live cleaning, flushing, because we brought in a crew to help us get caught back up, because with our back cons and stuff being down, we got behind on our cleaning. We noticed that we started to have quite a few service stoppages in that area. So that we contracted with them to come in and do that light and heavy cleaning in there, and also do the point repairs, or the root removal, and everything. So,
Donnie, I missed it. The ring and lids change out. Did you say that there's a spec change in that?
There is, and that went through before. We're not using the metal ring and lids anymore. We're specifically went to the composite ring and lids, just because of the durability. You know, we when we first looked at them, Earl wasn't sold on them being in the roads and stuff like that, so we've done some extensive research and studies on those, and, you know, we put them in places that we had big trucks that were turning on them and all the time and everything, just to see how they held up great. They hold up to hydrogen sulfide. They are a little bit more expensive, but now with the price of metal where it is, we're almost compatible and stuff. I think Bentonville's looking at doing the same thing, just because, you know, before we were only installing them in our high corrosive areas with high H2S, because they withstand the H2S better than the others. But we feel that, you know, they're easier. They're not going to be, lids aren't going to be stolen because there's no metal in them and stuff like that. So that's why we elected to go with the composite ring and lids there.
Are they readily available?
Oh, they're readily available. Okay. They're built down in Houston. So, that, you know, they're an American product. All the stuff comes from the United States. So,
cool.
You know, we pass all the checks that we need to on that. So, and then I just added in here, this is an article that I actually wrote, and it's in the Southwest Journal. For a Waterworks Journal. This is a presentation that we did down in Hot Springs, and it was very well received, and I was approached by the guy that runs the Southwest District for, and he says, hey, you want to write an article? Well, I thought Joseph, which was the garbage engineer that worked with us on it, was going to help write it, and he was, needless to say, he got busy and couldn't do it, so, you know, they kept asking me, hey, we need that article, so I threw this together and threw it in there, and already got a couple of comments and stuff on it and everything. I just wanted to share it with y'all guys. And,
you saved RWU from a Garver invoice.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there would have been a Garver invoice.
Oh, I bet there would have been.
Yeah.
I gave them credit, you know, and everything. So, you can go through it and read it. It just talks on our leak sensors and stuff that we've done to improve our system and everything. So,
well, nice work.
Yeah.
You're published now.
And I want to commend your guys for the work that they're doing there on Elm Street. They're respectful of traffic. They're clean. It's not because, you know, during the Friday and Saturday night live rail yard stuff, you still have to go around it, but they've done a great job of being very respectful.
Well, thank you. I know that they'd appreciate hearing that too, you know, so they have really done a good job up there, and we've got a lot of comments on how respectful they were and how they were with the people and answered the questions and all that. So, all right. Did this one yours? Oh.
This is
dance.
Good afternoon. This is resolution number 2313. It's a resolution amending the employee policy manual for water and public utilities and for other purposes. Exhibit one is going to provide those changes. We're addressing and proposing changes on our policy on attendance and inclement weather. On attendance, just that first paragraph, we added a third sentence. Absences, full and partial, and tardies must be covered by available benefit hours. We've always done this. This has always been a verbal communication. We just didn't have it in writing and felt like it should be in writing. Under inclement weather, the second paragraph, we just added some language in different parts just to clarify who would qualify to receive that pay and who would not, based on their schedule, what they had scheduled ahead of time with their supervisor. And then in the third paragraph, we added that last sentence, if a partial day closing occurs, these are the guidelines we'll use if weather pay is implemented. So bring this to the commission, asking for your approval. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2313.
A second.
Motion and a second. All in favor of approving resolution 2313,
say aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. The ayes have it 4-0.
Thank you.
And I'll bring before you resolution 2314, adopting rules and procedure for the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission for other purposes. This is, again, similar to Dana's, at the request of the commission to codify and clarify all of our procedures. This one will do that. It's basically just codifying what's in place, clarifying a few other things, just formalizing the procedures from the chairman to the secretary, meeting times, agenda items, and the formal process for the presentation and consideration of items. If you have any questions, I'm happy to entertain them.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 2314, rules of procedure for commission meeting.
I'll second.
Motion and a second to approve resolution 2314. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Thank you.
We're steaming through.
Now I'll turn it over to the Johnny Show.
You get a slight break in the middle.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, I failed to get that into the packet.
Thank you.
We were in talk, and there's one thing that I failed to get in there. So we're coming to you on resolution 2315 to ask for adjustment of our pricing. And what Adam, which deals with our pricing, our service costs and stuff the most, you can see he did a 6-month average here of what the prices was for us to put these services in and everything, and that's what we based our numbers off. Is me and Brent met and talked about them of what we needed to raise our pricing to. I know that we've been back some time ago and asked for a price increase, but materials has continued to go up on us and everything. So that's why we put this average price here together. So we're asking for y'all to approve just our water adjustments here, you know, for the cost of services. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Is it typically more expensive downtown because most of your lines are in the street and you're having to do a cut?
Not so much, you know, because this is just for us basically kind of put the service in. Like
yeah.
On the street cuts and stuff like that, that would be added material.
Okay. So
and stuff. So this is just mainly covering us, you know, in the cost of the service and everything. You know, plus now we're vacuum excavating out in front of our crews. We're vacuum excavating everything before we go put a service in. Our crew will go vacuum excavate, be sure that we're not damaging any utilities that's in there with us and everything. So, but mainly, like I said, this is just parts, and that's just trying to cover our cost of us putting them in.
Is that the new Vector?
That will be the new one that I'll ask for here in a minute.
All right.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2315.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second to approve resolution 2315. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes have it 4-0.
All right, so now we'll go to resolution number 2316. This is a resolution approving the purchase of a certain motor vehicle, authorizing expenditure of funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and other purposes. So right now, to let you know that normally we buy all of our vehicles off the state bid. Right now there is no state bid. You know, there's not a national bid. I've been on all the national sites looking. They got vehicles out there, but they just say unavailable, unavailable, unavailable. So we were talking about this the other day, and Brian brought up, well, there's a red truck sitting in Bentonville that's only $41,749. We bid to $50,000, so, you know, for the truck, and the quote that we got from our normal vendor, they were right at $50,000. I drove over, looked at the truck, it fit all of our needs. It's the red color, just like we use. It's actually a step up from what the other gentleman had quoted us at $50,000. This is a step up of a truck. I don't know why they only have it at $41,749, but we asked that y'all waive competitive bidding so we can go and purchase that truck. Yes, brand new. Yeah, 2023 Dodge Tradesman.
Okay.
Not Tradesman, Bighorn. Sorry. The Tradesman was that we got our original quote on at $50,000.
So. I'll make a motion to pass resolution 2316 waiving competitive bidding for the purchase of motor vehicle, waiving competitive bidding.
I'll second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to approve resolution 2316. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. The ayes have it.
And just a little note on that too is Robert will be putting a bid packet together for us to go out for bids on. We've got 3,500s and 5,500s in. But since there's not a state bid, then we met and we talked, and he feels that it's appropriate for us to go out and do the bid process that Ms. Huckabee also had a thing on the procurement website, that if the vehicles wasn't available, that all the government or the state could go out for bids and stuff. So,
are you on some sort of rotation basis with all your?
We're trying to get to that point. We're not there yet. You know, right now it's more of the maintenance of trying to keep the vehicles when they get to a point, you know, we're trying to get to a rotation basis. So.
No, we did that with police vehicles. You know, try to keep that on some sort of rotation so you don't burn through on the old ones and you have a lot to replace.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
How many vehicles does RW have as far as work trucks? A lot?
Yeah. You just made the list, Mark. Do you remember?
I remember all of them.
Yeah, 35. I was going to say 35 or 40.
Okay.
Yeah, be just regular work trucks, you know, 1 tons, 3/4 tons and stuff.
Okay. You get a short break.
I get a short break.
Don't go far.
Okay. This is a resolution 23-17 authorizing the reimbursement to the city of Rogers for water and sewer relocation costs for the Walnut Street widening. So the RDOT has issued an agreement to the city. And that agreement outlines the references the original agreement from 2016 that the city's going to be responsible for half the cost of the roadway improvements and also what they call betterments, and that's things like wider sidewalks, landscaping, and things like that for aesthetic benefit. But it also includes utility improvements, water and sewer replacement, and also moving some of the electrical underground. And so that is the intent of RDOT's agreement with the city. So we are not directly contracted with RDOT as a utility. A typical RDOT project would be that we have a utility relocation agreement. We go out and hire our contractor. We relocate the utilities, and then they come back behind us with a roadway project. In the interest of time and coordination, the water and sewer and the underground conduit for electric is all going to be under the roadway contract. And so this is a little bit different than we've done some of these highway contracts in the past. But what this agreement states between the city and RDOT is that the city is going to be responsible for these additional fees, for these additional expenses. And part of that's water and sewer. And once they request those funds have to be transferred to RDOT. And generally that's going to happen after the project's bid, and I believe prior to award. And so that's going to be a lump sum on a utility project that's probably going to take a couple of years, and that we budget it out over a couple of years.
Yeah.
And so the intent of this resolution is to allow us to negotiate an agreement with the city of Rogers to pay them out over time for utility expenses associated with this project. Is that correct?
Yeah, we didn't have that $3 million budgeted. We could do that in the water, 1.4-ish on the sewer. We just didn't have budgeted. So the city has agreed to carry us, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we'll pay them back in the next budget year. This is an odd contract. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like this before. And it's important to note too, hey, Brian, may or may not have said this, but the city still has the right, if the bids come in too high, to walk away, to not award the project.
I do want to point out that the amounts, sorry, let me get the screen in the right place. The amount stated in here, the $1.349 million for water, $1.377 for sewer, those numbers came from the RDOT's roadway department, estimating department. And so there's a very real chance that those could come in higher.
Yeah, yeah.
And so at that point, we would bring it back.
So y'all aren't bound to accept, if they accept a bid that's super high, y'all aren't bound to them?
The city has to accept that bid before RDOT will accept the bid.
Okay.
And so we do have an off-ramp if the bids come back.
Crazy high. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
RWU has the opt-out of our portion. Is that what we're saying? If the street work comes in cheap and RWU gets stuck with something out of whack.
That's going to get a little sticky.
Yeah.
If the utilities come in sky high and put the roadways within reason, we're going to have to work something out with the city and decide what we're going to do.
That's happened before.
Oh, yeah.
The city's going to pay for it. It's just a matter of how we pay the city back, or how we reimburse before that work.
I'm going to go ahead and call this one. This is going to be twice as much as that number.
Is that a typical reimbursement? It's 22% if you look at what their RDOT's contribution. Is that a typical amount that they...
It varies project to project. The way the utility accommodation policy works is that we require, and they push us out of the easement by virtue of widening the roadway, then they're responsible for that relocation cost. However, if we're in their right of way and we have to move because of the widening, we're responsible for that. So we look at how much of that line is in easement and how much is in right of way. And in this case, I think 22% was in easement and the rest was all in right of way. And so on this particular project, that I would say that's probably pretty low, but just by virtue of us being in the right of way most of the way.
I don't think any of us will see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like people talk about that. That stretch is for a long time. I've lived here for a few years, but it seems like that's always kind of been something that's been talked about.
Yeah.
But it's just like it continues to be discussed. And even moving signs and sign ordinances and changing things and trying to get, it's been on the board a long time. So. I hope it happens. I think it needs to happen, but it's just been something that has been talked about for a long, long time.
They'll do it during a recession or something.
It's going to be such a pain point for a lot of the businesses up and down through the industry.
For everybody involved.
Yeah.
There's no,
your grandkids may see it.
Was it estimated to be a 6-year process?
It's going to be
60, did you say?
60.
Oh.
Sorry, 60.
I appreciate it if we can work something out, because it needs to be done. If they're willing to cover those costs, it allows us to have the flexibility of not having to whatever budget your ends up being in, we may be in the budget. But at least allows that project to move forward. Everybody stays on even to move it forward. Whenever the numbers come in, we'll have to deal with
it. I just have to call out Casey William with the city. I mean, she understood the position we were in, and she said, we can work with you.
Well, and depending on when all this takes place, it may be something we keep on our back. Be thinking about that as we look at next budget year, and it may be something that we can build in part of it. And they may not have to reimburse all of it. It's just a matter of timing. But in the interim, to keep this thing moving forward, RDOT needs to know they're going to get paid, and the city stepped up, and we appreciate that.
Brian, is this...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Is this on RDOT's bid schedule calendar yet? Or is it still floating out there that keeps getting moved?
I believe it's a 10-week schedule on their calendar. They're not going to let this until they've got a signature by the city. The mayor has to sign that agreement.
This allows them to do it.
Yeah. What's the date of the estimate? Is it?
I believe that's just been done within the last month.
Okay, good. They don't last long these days.
No, they don't. And I share the same concerns of the Travis says.
Yeah.
If not triple.
We need to keep it going.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2317.
I'll second.
Motion and second to approve resolution 23, authorizing the agreement with the City of Rogers regarding the Walnut Street widening. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. The ayes have it 4-0.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. And back to Johnny.
Johnny's always asking for money.
Yeah.
All right. So I can tell you that we're big on safety here. And this was brought to our attention. We got some trench boxes out back. They're older. So we went out for quotes to purchase some new shoring. We request that y'all
make a motion to approve the purchase of these two trench boxes for a total of $42,411.80. Yes, yeah. I can get you the contract. I didn't get that. I'm sorry.
Jerry, out of curiosity, do you have to get this risk reduction, do inspections on RWU trench safety or anything?
No. We are in the process of trying to work with risk reduction and get some cross training done as soon as we can, get everything together. We've kind of been waiting on these trench boxes to do it. You know, we're going to dig some trenches out around the water towers and stuff and everything, and do some training with them and everything. So, and we've been in contact with them. They really want to do it too. So, but we've been kind of waiting on the purchase of these before we.
Two questions. One is, is this a budgeted item and something that we need to put in there?
Yes, sir.
So it is budgeted. The second thing is again, learning. What dollar is there a threshold that has to come before the commission? Is that why we're looking at that? I mean, there's a couple things to spend money. What's the dollar amount?
If it exceeds $35,000.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Johnny, can these stack on your old ones? No.
I can't?
No. These are actually a little bit bigger than our older ones.
Okay.
You know, we could stack, but we can stack these two together.
Okay.
You know, and they're panels, they're a builder box, so we can build them as much as the.
Good question. If we go that deep,
Yeah. Probably
using the contract.
Yeah. We don't have anything to dig that deep. So.
I'll make a motion that we purchase the two trench boxes in the amount of $42,411.80.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the purchase of the $42,411.80 for the trench boxes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay?
Excuse me. Is that a hard number? Do you need any?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a hard number.
Okay. No. Tack, anything involved in it gives you enough discretion to do what you
want. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And this is a sales quote for the vacuum excavator truck, and this is off the Sourcewell. They're a Sourcewell vendor. So this comes off of a national Sourcewell bid, and we are requesting that y'all approve the purchase of the vacuum excavator truck for $229,853.75.
Was it budgeted?
Yes, sir. It was budgeted.
Good. Tony, what's that hot box? Is that like a asphalt hot box or something? What is that?
Where at?
Diesel hot box with recirculation kit.
That is when we're using water to vacuum excavate. It keeps the water warm during the winter months. It's the same thing we have them on our back on. They're just a recirculating pump that runs the water up by the motor to heat the water so it don't freeze on us and stuff.
Ah, with you.
And this is just part of the transition from the old backhoes where you had all the room in the world, the big boom and everything, dig wherever you want, to the mini X's, which are a little more surgical, to now we can't even use those. We have to vacuum excavate.
Mm-hmm. And this is just a new addition. It's not a replacing anything.
Yes, it is a new addition. We already have a Vermeer vacuum trailer that we use. We just need another piece of equipment to make our life a little easier.
You bet. I'd make a motion to approve the purchase of the vacuum excavator truck.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the purchase of the vacuum excavator. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. The ayes have it. Thank you.
All right, now another one. This is TopLogix. Actually, you know, we went to the new Proteus camera equipment quite some time back. TopLogix has almost been with us now for 8 months, Jerry, would you say? 8 months. They have not been charging us and everything because they wanted to get their equipment out there. And
let it be known how their stuff works. I've talked to a few people about their product and everything, but this is just the authorization for us to purchase the new camera software to run with our new camera trucks that we're already using. This is just for us to start paying for the maintenance and everything and get a contract with them. And this is an HGAC bid. Because you can see there that there's an administration fee of $1,230 for that. So we're looking for you to give us an approval for the purchase of the Proteus CCTV software of $62,730.
They're not doing it free anymore?
They're not doing it free anymore.
Now, it says the quotation does not include applicable taxes and shipping. So do we need to add something for that?
The shipping, there's no shipping, and they did not say anything about taxes when we talked.
So, Robert, is there anything we need to do for leeway in that bid?
The motion's approved and add taxes.
If applicable.
And ancillary charges.
If applicable, okay.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Johnny, is this a one-time charge or is this an annual fee that we pay?
This is for us to basically purchase their equipment and but we do have an annual fee that will maintenance fee, but that's waived the first year. We don't even actually pay that. And right now we've been paying, I forgot what we've been paying Q's, but this is a little over half of what we're paying Q's is what their yearly maintenance fee is. So we're actually getting a better price using them and everything. So.
And we budgeted this?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Is anybody else around the town using these folks?
Navajos has went to them.
Okay.
They bought them a new camera truck and everything, and they're using this after they talked to me. You know, they had a couple of quotes from the other vendors and stuff, and I told them, you know, how our guys like using the equipment, the ease of it, you know, and just being able to get a lot of footage done in a hurry with this newer setup and stuff, that they went with it. I've talked to a couple other utilities, I think North Little Rock, which I'll be down there tomorrow teaching. They're actually purchasing three or four camera vans. Springdale's looking at it. They come up and looked at ours, and they were very, very impressed with ours and everything and the simplicity. That's the main thing is our guys can work with it, and it's a lot easier to work with and everything. Plus, you know, equipment back a lot faster. You know, when other equipment broke down with Q's, it's gone 6-7 months before we get it back. So we had a little camera issue. We sent it in, and I think they had it back to us in 2 days. You know, so and you know, one of those days was shipping it. So
I'll make a motion for the purchase of the CCTV software. In the amount of $62,730 plus any applicable taxes or ancillary items. Okay, man, don't ask me to say that again.
I'm not repeating it.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say
aye.
Aye. Aye, 4-0.
Yeah, don't be afraid of that.
No.
Well, I'm trying to hold it to the budget. If it not be budget, I'm not sure where we are.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, we opened bids on the Bent Tree and Berry Farm lift station decommissioning. Just a refresher. This was one of the higher priority projects in the wastewater master plan, eliminating these two lift stations and allowing Bent Tree and Berry Farm lift stations kind of along that Bellevue corridor to gravity flow all the way down to Garrett Road lift station and get those offline. It's kind of a pretty urgent issue right now. We've got some pumps that are just limping along out there, and so we participated in a project with the developer to extend this 12-inch line. Now that project's nearing completion, we can go ahead and get this work done. We received two bids on this project. The low bid of $267,119.28 was from Steep Creek LLC, who appear to be qualified to do this work. Staff recommends acceptance of the bid.
Steep Creek, are they local?
No, they're not. They have an office in Greenbrier and an office in Marshall.
Marshall?
Where is Marshall?
Highway 65.
Okay, so it's up 65 from Greenbrier?
Yeah, they're north.
That's my neck of the woods.
North Central Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah.
Steep Creek.
Never heard of
it. So to decommission, and this is going to sound, we're going from basically two lift stations to gravity flow.
Right.
And so I've kind of worked that through my mind how it's going to work.
Right.
Because you've had to have lift stations to try to get it somewhere, and now it's going to decommission and it's just going to gravity flow.
Right. So
I guess it's going to be a deep pit. So
we have a lift station. Everything's flowing to the south and then kind of west here. We have a large lift station down here. And as the development grew to the south, we built one lift station, and we built another lift station, and we built this to take all this stuff over here, but we were missing a big gap right here. It was going to take several hundred thousand dollars to complete that gap. Now that's being filled in with a residential subdivision, and we're participating in that project to upsize the pipes so we'll take the flow
from the south that is going in.
Right. Everything's flowing.
I'm with you now. That's because I was trying to figure out just that all kind of work.
Yep, we just have a couple of projects to fill in those gaps.
That new subdivision. Okay, thank you.
We're about out of band-aids.
Well, as long as it's downhill, that's
all works. Those were temporary lift stations.
They're all temporary. They're temporary lift stations.
I'll make a motion to accept the low bid for the lift station decommissioning, award it to Steep Creek LLC in the amount of $267,119.28.
I will second.
Motion and a second.
I can't repeat that either. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The ayes have it 4-0.
Hey, Brian, out of my own ignorance, why do we not just cap these things and fill them full of flowable fill or something? I mean, why do we have to remove them and dispose of?
So we leave a lot of the structure in the ground. So basically what we're doing is we're digging down several feet and then saw cutting the wet well, taking all the equipment out, filling that with, I'm not sure if we're doing it with base or with just a compacted soil. I think we're doing it with class 7 base on this project. And then just cleaning up the ground surface.
Is that an ADH requirement? I know we do the same procedure as far as we backfill ours with base. I don't know if that's a state health department thing or what is that? Is that just the easiest practice?
That's the easiest practice because a lot of times those foundations on those things are probably 20 feet in the ground and 2 feet thick.
Yeah.
So it'd probably cost us 3 times as much if we actually took the whole structure out instead of filling it and compacting it in. But we try to get to the depth where if somebody
puts a road
building or something over it, we won't be in the way of getting down foundation.
But it's not health department mandated how you abandon those?
That is the way the health department wants to abandon the septic tanks.
Okay.
Everybody just follows that standard. So how to abandon the septic tank, you know, I follow it. That way it won't flow.
I know we do the exact same procedure, and I just never knew if there was a requirement for it or if we just kind of what everybody did. So good to know. All right, with that,
thank you very much.
Does anybody have anything else? Or if not, we will return the July 24th. Our review committee meeting.
All right.